Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome one and all. I'm Jim Dolan, your host for today. On the RTC Weekly Download, well, we have a 30-minute program and two 15s for you today, as it turns out. The 30-minute program is going to be science fiction. It's from Dimension X, and it's called Shanghai. We'll follow that up with Challenge of the Yukon and the Telltale Bullet. And after that, a program called Guest Star. And Guest Star was one of these public service programs where they were selling, I believe, bonds. We'll find out in about 45 minutes or so. But the guest on that is going to be Basil Rathbone. That's from 1947. So here we go with Shanghai on Dimension X.
Adventures in time and space. Transcribed in future tense. Can you predict what will come in 100 years? Can you see beyond the known dimensions of time and space into the unknown, Dimension X? In 1987, Atlantic Spaceport was established on the site of Old Fort Devon outside of Boston. And as the ships pushed deeper and deeper into space, the time of voyage increased by geometrical progression. It became more and more difficult to persuade able spacemen to sign on for flights which lasted for years, 10 to 15 monotonous years in the cramped focusle of a deep spacer. Rooms and one-armed joints in Scully Square in Boston were plastered with recruiting posters for the deep space star runs. Flashy four-color signs with a blue-eyed young man gazing into a star-studded sky.
Seek your future in the stars. Jeff, there's your last chance to get out of the wedding.
Sure, just send Judith a short note. I can't get away to marry you today. I'm 300 million light years away.
Very funny, very funny.
Well, think it over, boy. Tomorrow, the shackles of matrimony.
But tonight, the stars.
The mystery of the galaxy.
Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you commit matrimony.
Oh, come on, we came here to have a little fun. We might as well be at Mother's Music Hall on Commonwealth Avenue.
Please. Ah, the problems of the rich. Hey, Jeff, just where does the coffin fortune come from,
I guess it started in Nantucket. My great-great-something-or-other used to be a whaler.
A whaler?
There she blows!
A dead whale or a stove boat?
Watch my trusty harpoon!
Ouch, look out with a fork!
Where's the money now?
Oh, I don't know. We've got a lot of commercial holdings, mills, import, export outfits, rocket lines, you know.
Mere trivia.
Hey, why don't we get out of this dump? We could go up to the Copley Plaza. It may be stuffy, but at least the glasses are clean.
Well, you're the condemned man.
All right, you guys go ahead and get a taxi copter. I'll settle.
Meet you out.
Run. Right. Excuse me.
Want something, bud?
The check.
Okay, okay. Hey, Milton, check. You'll be right out.
Right.
Hello, mate.
Huh?
Nice night, eh?
I suppose so.
I've been watching you. Celebrating?
Sort of.
Well, so am I. Just got off a deep space run out to Centaurus.
Centaurus? That's a 15-year run, isn't it?
15 in 3 blooming months. How do you know? You a spaceman?
No, not exactly. Hey, barkeep, where's that check?
Hang on to your hat, bud. Milton is slow, but he's sure.
Fill it up, Charlie. Say, why don't you join me, mate? Here, Charlie.
No, thank you, no.
Oh, come on, won't take an awful mile. Celebrate whatever it is you're celebrating on me. Come on, pour it, Charlie.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I guess I might as well. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. What was that, varnish?
Charlie's special brand, eh, Charlie?
Yes.
Hey, look, could you get that waiter out here? I've got to meet my friends. They're waiting.
Oh, what's your hurry, mate? You got plenty of time.
Sure. Sit down.
Take it easy. You don't look so good.
I don't feel so good.
Well, here now, you sit right here. You'll feel chipper as a blooming grasshopper in a second.
Gotta get outside.
in a hurry. Where's the check? Check! Oh!
All right, come on. Get him out the back before his mates turn up.
Grab his other leg. Let's go.
In a hurry, is he? That's what he thinks. Where he's going, he's got plenty of time.
Mate, up on your feet. Wakey, wakey, wakey.
Let go of me. What's the idea?
Rise and shine and greet the dawn.
Where am I? What's going on here?
Come on now, mate. Up and at him. Wakey, wakey, wakey. Come on, show a leg, show a leg.
Wait a minute. Hey, you were at that bar. Scully Square.
Come on now, up to the power room or you'll be in trouble.
Power room? What are you talking about? Where am I?
Well, that's hard to say, exactly. Offhand, about 8 hours out of Atlantic Spaceport.
Atlantic Spaceport? What kind of a joke is this? If Alan and Peter think this is funny, they... What's your business?
R.S. Michael M. Rafferty. Coffin Line.
Coffin Line. Well, that makes it easy. You've got to put back to port.
Forget your toothbrush, mate.
Listen, you run. Take me to the captain, or I'll tear you apart.
Here, let go of my lapel.
Get moving.
Sure. Sure, mate, I'll take you up to the captain. Captain Lundstrom is just the man you want to see.
Martin, what the devil are you doing on the bridge? Get below.
Right away, sir. Only this here gentleman asked to see you.
Now, that's right, Captain. There's been a mistake made. I'm afraid it was supposed to be a joke.
Oh?
Yes, you see, I'm going to be married today, and I suppose my friends thought it would be funny to make me miss the ceremony. I'm sure it won't be too much trouble to have you drop me off back at Atlantic.
What? Martin, what is this?
Oh, it's simple, Captain. He wants you to turn the ship around, that's all.
If there's any trouble with your superior, I'm sure I can fix it up. You see, I'm Jeff Coffin.
Yes?
Well, you don't understand. My father is Cyrus Coffin. He owns this ship.
He does, eh?
I can understand you're not believing me, Captain, but I can identify my... Hey, where's my wallet?
My.
Look, Captain, all you have to do is radio back and check.
Mr. Black, remove this man from the bridge.
Aye, sir. You heard the captain, Buster.
Wait a minute. Let go of me. This is no way to treat a passenger.
Passenger? Wake up, sonny boy. You're one of the crew.
What? Well, you're crazy. I'm Jeff Coffin.
Maybe, but you're signed on as a crewman. Now stand at attention.
You can't get away with this.
And say, sir.
Why, you cheap hoodlum.
Now listen careful, sonny. You're a spaceman on this ship. And when an officer gives you an order, you're going to jump.
I'll have you all busted. Let go of my arms.
I guess you need a little lesson in ship's discipline. And you might as well get it now.
All right, Mr. Black. Now take him below.
All right now, mate. You grab yourself a buffer and you get to work on those deck plates.
I can't get away with this. It's kidnapped.
Maybe yes, maybe no. Now get this here deck nice and shiny. We might even see about some grub. I'll be back in 2 hours. And mind you, I want to be able to see my blooming reflection in it.
Hey, you'd better get started.
I can't get away with this.
The law says once you sign on, you're under absolute orders. I looked it up.
But I didn't sign on. I was kidnapped.
You won't be able to prove it. Come on, mister, please. I didn't get anything to eat today. Give me a break.
All right. You run the buffer over it, is that it?
Yeah, that's right. Like this.
Okay. You sign on?
Yeah. I ran away from home.
What? How old are you?
16. I'll be 30 when we get back.
What do you mean, 30? We're headed for Mars, aren't we?
Only to refuel. We're bound out to Centaurus.
But no, we can't, but that's 15 years. Morton! I've got to get back!
No, you...
I'm getting married, you'll think I'm dead! Morton! Morton! Morton!
Now, watch up! You want me to call Mr. Black again? He'll give you what for.
No, listen. Now, listen, I've got to get back. I can't disappear for 15 years.
How is that a fact?
Look, we stop at Mars, right?
Yes, and you'll be below decks under lock and key.
Listen, I can make it worth your while if you get me off at Marsport.
Jumping ship?
Well, that's real naughty, mate.
$1,000.
Why, what would I tell me poor old mother in Battersea?
$2,005.
In advance.
What do you mean in advance? I'll bet you're the one that rolled me for my wallet.
There's a way. They don't believe you, young Coffin. Maybe I know better. All right, it's a deal.
All right.
Look, Mr. Coffin, can you take me with you? I didn't realize what it would be like. I'll pay my share. I could work it for you, or maybe borrow money. I couldn't stand 15 years. I'd go crazy.
He'll cost you another $1,000.
You cheap swindler.
Here now, Mr. Coffin. I'm all which stands between you and a lovely pleasure cruise for 15 years. So I'll thank you to treat me with the respect and politeness what a gentleman like myself deserves.
Listen careful. This here's the cable locker for the grappling anchor. When she lands, this hatch will open and the cables go out. Don't get yourself caught in me, you'll be torn apart.
All right, we got that.
Are you sure we can get out?
You just do what I say. When you drop down, run for the blast pit. Nobody's there for a lantern. Lay low until dark. You got that?
All right. Don't worry, I'll tell the patrol you helped us get away. That'll help you when they catch up with this gang.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you kindly. I've got to get to my station now. Good luck.
Thanks. Thanks, Mr. Morton.
There's the landing horn.
Yeah.
Keep clear of that cable, Joey. Here comes a deceleration blast.
There goes the grappling cable.
All right, come on. Drop to the hatch. It's about 6 feet. It's clear. Hurry up. You all right?
Yeah, twisted my ankle. It's all right.
There's the blast pit. Come on, get going.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all right so far. The ship hides.
Here's the pit.
Get down so they can't see you.
I don't know how to thank you, Mr. Coffin. I must have been crazy to sign on that ship.
That's all right, Joey. What happened? You have a fight at home?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
I hear somebody coming.
What?
Keep still.
Maybe we better look.
If we stick our heads over the edge, they'll see us, sure. Keep down and keep quiet.
I hear him, too.
Well, well, well. Look what we have here. Two little babes in the wood. You two move and I'll shoot you each once in the belly. Morton, you got good eye.
I told you I saw him come his way, Mr. Black. Jumping ship! Why, that's a terrible thing to do.
You double-crossing rat. You got paid in advance, didn't you? Then turned us in. I'll see the port police about this.
Yeah? We already turned your papers over to the port police as ship jumpers.
Papers? I didn't sign any papers.
You just don't remember signing them. We got them stamped nice and legal.
It's no use, Mr. Coffin. We haven't got a chance.
My, jumping ship. Well, don't worry, mate. You'll see your girl again. In 15 years.
Mr. Black, inform the ship's company that these two men have been found guilty of attempted desertion.
Desertion? Well, you kidnapped me, you dirty crook.
Don't you talk to Captain Lunsford that way.
I'm sentencing them to 24 hours hull watch. Take them away.
Morton, take them to the aft lock.
Aye, sir.
Ship jumping. If you didn't have that gun, I'd break you in two. Double-crossing rat.
You calm down after 24 hours hull watch.
What's hull watch?
Very simple. We put you two in spacesuits and shove you through the airlock on the end of a line. You sit out there and you watch the hull for 24 hours. You can talk to each other on the wireless intercom, but no food and no water. And the heating units in those suits are just a little bit defective. Makes it interesting long about the 18th hour, I'll bet. Well, here we are, gentlemen. The airlock. Now, you get in here. You've got 5 minutes to get into suits and we blow you out of the lock. See you in 24 hours, maybe.
Joey, can you hear me on that?
Yeah. It's getting awful cold. How much longer we got?
I don't know. I suppose that's part of the fun. Guessing.
I'm awful thirsty.
It can't be too much more. Hang on, kid.
It's cold.
It'll probably get colder. We better snap the safety hook.
Jeff, what would happen if we drifted away from the ship?
We'd keep going in the same direction till the oxygen gave out.
Yeah. Will it get much colder? I don't know if I can take it.
We haven't got any choice, Joey. Just hang on. It can't last forever.
Back to our little home.
What a...
Hasty?
What a...
Right here. Here. Slopping like a bloody animal.
Joey, best help.
You'll be all
help
right. Him. Teach your lesson, both of you. Just take my advice and behave yourselves. You've got 15 years to go on this here ship, and you might as well make the best of it.
Hey, Martin, what do you call this mess?
That's your supper, mate. Food concentrate.
What's the idea? Only 2 months out and on concentrates already?
You complaining, Red?
Yeah, I'm complaining. If Captain Lundstrom's chiseling on the manifest, that's his business. But when he tries to take it out of our hide...
You keep quiet or I'll turn you into Mr. Black. Concentrate is what you get to eat from here on out. Now shove it in your face and keep quiet.
I'll shove it in your face and see how you like it.
Look out. What's going on in here? Morton? What happened?
He struck me, that's what.
48 hours hull watch.
Huh?
What are you all looking at? Get back to your places. Morton? Bring that man to the aft airlock.
Red, come on out of there. Your time's up. Come on.
You, mate, go in and get him.
Come on, Joey.
Gee, 48 hours out there. Unsnap the helmet. Careful. Get it off.
Come on now, hurry up.
Bring him to.
I can't.
What?
He's dead.
Get him undressed. Hang up that spacesuit. He must have had a heart attack.
Heart attack. He's frozen to death.
Mr. Black will be fair heartbroken. Red was a first-class jet man. Hurry up with that suit. It's cold in here.
It's murder, that's what. Just plain murder.
Space code gives a 30-hour limit for punishment.
They didn't even have a burial. Just shoved him out of a lock.
Well, if the owners knew about this, they'd stop
him. Oh, fat lot of good that's going to do us for the next 15 years.
Wait a minute. If we could get the ship back tomorrow...
Oh, look, that's no good, son. 2 weeks after we landed, we'd be hung. That's what Space Code says about mutiny. If they catch you in the act, they shoot you down and no question.
Well, I'm willing to take the chance.
Are we going to let Black and Lundstrom kick us around for 15 years?
Well, I'm not.
Why don't we take over and head back?
Okay.
Quiet.
Did I interrupt something, gentlemen? A discussion? Talking about the captain, maybe? Well, ta-da.
Grab him!
Let go of me! I'll see you now, please, you dead what I'll do!
Here, chew on my oil right, Morton.
Well, that's done it, Harry. He's an officer.
Who cares?
But we've got to move now. Joey, get up to the radio room and smash the set before they can get a message out.
Right.
Pop, you get out. Yes. Tell the engine watch.
All right.
The rest of us will go up to the bridge.
How about this, Rat?
Tie him up. Speed counts now. We've got to take over before they know what hit him. Careful. We've got a surprise.
We'll get him cold.
Jeff, quiet. Sparks was standing when I got in, but I knocked him out and smashed the set. We're all right.
All right, come on. Let's get up to the bridge. Hey, let's close the hatch.
Hey, we're cut off from the bridge.
We'll never get through that.
He must have found out somehow.
Folks on intercom. Black must have turned it on from the bridge. He must have heard the whole thing.
Yeah. We better get out of here.
Yeah. What'll they do?
I don't know.
They got all the controls up there. We can shut down the drive, but we can't steer.
Dog down the hatch behind us.
Yeah. Well, what next?
All right, men. Captain Lundstrom's giving you 1 minute to get up quiet.
In a pig's eye, Black!
You'll hang for mutiny, every one of you.
What do we do now?
Quiet. They can hear everything on the intercom.
Not if I cut the switch.
Gotta get through to the bridge.
Well, it's a Mexican standoff. We can't get at them, they can't get at us.
What's that?
Air leak. The pressure's down.
Fellas,
what is it?
Lundstrom, he blew the hatch in the mess hall section. Just opened it up and let the air out.
Oh, anybody caught?
Al Haynes, he was cooking supper, dead as a doornail. Well, they can kill us all. They'll do it, too. All they've got to do is bleed off the air. They've got the atmosphere controls up there.
I'll see all of you blokes swinging from a landing crane. I'll wear you scum.
Morton, you know what Black's going to do? Bleed off the air down here.
Oh, serve you all right. If I had my way, I'd see you all out in the yard till you froze stiff.
You're forgetting something, Morton. You're back here with us.
What do you mean?
If Black and Lundstrom blow out compartments one by one or bleed the air off, you'll get it, too.
They'll take care of me. Don't you worry about that.
You think so? Joey, plug that intercom back in.
Yeah.
Black! Black!
Here we are.
We've got Morton back here.
Yeah?
If you try anything on us, he'll get it, too.
What am I supposed to do? Cry?
You don't care if he dies?
Well, that's his problem. We're going to drop the oxygen level 5%.
But you can't do that to me. Captain!
It's unfortunate that you are captured, Morton. But the security of my ship comes first.
You mean you don't care you'd see me dead?
Precisely.
But you can't. It's murder, that's what. I'm not one of them. You can't kill me. You can't.
Joey, pull the intercom.
You can't do it. I always followed orders. I did the dirty work and pull.
He can't hear you anymore,
Morton.
Don't
do this. Shut up.
Morton, they kill you as soon as look at you. Now listen. We've got to get through to the bridge. You know this ship. There must be some way.
We're your only chance, Morton. Get us through that hatch and up to the bridge.
All right. All right, why shouldn't I? They'd kill me.
And there is a way to get through?
Emergency release. Works by hand. I don't tell crewmen about it to keep them from breaking through in an engine blast and leaking radiation to the bridge.
Let's get going. We've got to get through before Lundstrom cuts the air down and gets us all. Here's the hatch, Morton. Where's the release?
Under the floor panel. You can pry it up.
Harry?
I got it. He's up.
Works on a key. Ready?
Back against the walls. They've got the guns.
Let them have them. I want to wrap my wrench around Black's neck.
All right, Morton. Open it up.
Here goes.
Look out!
They had it quiet.
Morton! Morton!
He's dead. Electrocuted. And the hatch is still closed.
He didn't get to turn that key. It killed him instantly. Harry, have you got your watch gloves? They're insulated.
Oh, sure. They'll take any current. Let's get Morton out of the way.
Hey, don't touch him, Joey. He's got the current through.
Yeah, I'll pull him away with the glove.
All right, now stand by. Here goes the key.
Let's go! Get him!
Hey, back there!
All right, there. Grab the gun. Johnny, look out! Oh, let go of that gun, Lundstrom. Hold them both. Yeah.
You don't have to worry about Black. I got him square with a wrench.
Anybody else hurt?
I am.
In the side. I think it just grazed me.
We'd better tie Lundstrom up.
What do you think you are going to do now?
Turn around and go back home.
I don't think so. I have burned the navigation tapes. None of you can recalculate.
What's more, you...
You'll just wander in space till the fuel gives out. You'll die right here on the ship.
How you coming, Jeff?
It's no use. I've had a little space math, but not enough to compute a flight.
Sooner or later, you're going to beg me to let you surrender.
Jeff, the interceptor screens went on.
Meteor?
No, it's a ship. A patrol ship coming up on us.
Hey, must have got off an SOS.
Well, we don't have to worry. We can just tell them the truth.
Sure. You're not familiar with the space code, young man. Mutiny is punished by immediate execution on the ship itself. In other words, they don't ask questions, they shoot.
He's right, Jeff. We're through.
Can we get away?
Not from a patrol ship. They've already sent us a heave to flash. If we run, they'll blow us out of space.
I'm afraid your mutiny is over, gentlemen. Soon they'll be alongside with an airlock coupling. And 10 minutes after that, you will all be dead.
Nobody move. Sergeant, take a squad and secure the ship. Collect all weapons and post a guard in the engine room.
Yes, sir. You, Brown, Williams, Kentucky, Kelly.
I'm delighted to see you, Major. I was not sure that an SOS had gotten through.
Oh? You're Captain Lundstrom?
That's right. I can swear out the affidavit of mutiny and...
I don't think a mutiny charge will stand up, Lundstrom. Not with a relief of command warrant out for you. I think we'll just forget about it. You're under arrest, Captain.
Oh, you can't do that. Space code is clear. You recorded my SOS.
SOS?
Of course. How else did you get here?
They sent us after you to get Jeff Coffin. Jeff Coffin. Where is he?
I'm Jeff Coffin.
We had a missing persons alarm for you, and then when a check you signed turned up at Marsport...
A check? That's right. I gave one to Martin to help me get away.
And he sold it to a fence for half face value. We traced it back to this ship. Coffin, I've got orders to escort you personally. We're taking you back to Earth, son.
Major, can I send out a message?
Of course. Oh, that reminds me, I've got one for you. From your fiancée.
Oh?
She said to tell you that she didn't object to a bachelor party in principle, but she did think 6 months was stretching it a bit.
Competition, they say, is the life of trade. And it will be as true 2 centuries from now as it is today. You'll hear about it next week when we present...
Dimension X.
Today, Dimension X has transcribed Shanghaied, an original story by Ernest Kenoy. Featured in the cast were John Sylvester as Jeff and William Griffiths as Morton. Your host was Norman Rose. Music by Bert Berman. Engineer Bill Chambers. Dimension X is produced by William Welch and directed by Edward King.
Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Tonight, it's the big show on NBC. Your stars will be Groucho Marx, Ezio Pinza, Jane Powell, Fanny Bryce, Frank Lovejoy, Meredith Wilson, and many, many more. Supervising the hour-and-a-half big show will be MC Tallulah Bankhead. Incidentally, when unpredictable Tallulah meets unconventional Groucho, look out. It's the big show every Sunday on NBC. Now the Quiz Kids, and later hear Tallulah and the big show on NBC.
The Challenge of the Yukon. On King! On you, Husky! On King, the swiftest, strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the Yukon during the gold rush of 98. That was the year that brought over 50,000 men swarming into the Klondike region, and the greed for gold led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, the force preserved a splendid record in maintaining the right. The challenge of the North was answered, and justice ruled triumphant. Trappers and prospectors, the cafe owner, gamblers, the lucky ones, storekeepers, and fur traders. These were the men who crowded the bank at Black Hawk. Two clerks, Dan Snyder and Sam Collins, were taking in dust as Jed Harrow opened his office door.
Dan, will you come in here a minute, please?
Did you hear that? You take care of things, Sam?
Sure. I'll just get them all in one line. Go on in.
Thanks. Maybe it won't keep me long. Yes, Mr. Harrow?
Come on in. Close the door. Sit down.
Yeah.
Dan, we got bad news. I just got a letter from Iverson.
Iverson?
Yes. He's coming in to check the books.
That is bad.
We got to do something to cover what's gone, Dan. Do it fast. You got any idea what it comes to?
About $15,000.
It's a lot of money.
It sure didn't last long with our luck at cards. I thought we'd be able to double it that in no time.
Yeah, we doubled all right, but the wrong way. I was talking to two fellas who'll be here this afternoon.
Yeah? What do they do?
Up to now, they've got pretty good records for robbing banks.
Robbing banks?
That's the only way to cover what we're short.
They'll be here this afternoon, eh?
That's right. I wanted you to know. When Iverson gets here, you can play dumb, see?
Yeah, sure. He certainly wouldn't like knowing his regional manager dipped his fingers into the bank's...
You're in this just as much as I am. So shut up and listen to me. I want you out in front with Sam. He won't suspect anything.
Late that afternoon, with the threat of snow hanging heavy in the sky, the bank was deserted except for Jed Harrow, seated at his desk behind a closed office door, and the clerks, Sam and Dan.
Better get that dust in the safe, Sam.
Yeah, I guess so. Sure looks mighty pretty, don't it?
Never could figure out why you don't go out and dig for your own instead of writing up everybody else's.
I ain't the lucky kind. Well, I'll put this in the safe, then soon as you're through with them books, we can call it a day. All right,
My arm!
What in the... You can't come in here like...
You're wrong, mister. We are in. Put up your hand.
Wait a minute, Lance. He's got some gold there. Hand it over.
Oh, no, you don't.
You better do as he says, Sam. They shot Harrow.
But I ain't... All right.
Now, keep your hands up. Open that safe. I said open it. And you keep your hands up.
They're up.
You'll never get away with this.
Your only worry is to turn that combination. You better do it fast.
I'll watch him, Lance. You get the gold.
Yeah.
This is terrible. Masked men, guns, my bank robbed.
Yeah, some haul.
Come on, hurry.
There, I got it all. You got what was in that drawer, didn't you?
Yeah.
Anyone that steps through that door for the next 5 minutes stops a bullet, see? Open the door, Pete.
Remember, stay where you are.
Mr. Harrow, you're hurt.
It's nothing, just my arm.
Well, I'll fix it for you, sir.
Sam, the door to my office. Go out that way and bring help.
Yes, sir.
You'll be safe. I won't be able to see you.
Here's the kit, sir.
Darn fool. Did they get everything?
They swept the place clean.
Good.
Are you really hurt?
Me? No. But you better get my arm wrapped up before he gets back with help.
Meanwhile, once outside, Sam Collins raced through the streets, spreading the news.
The bank!
Yeah, the bank!
I had my dust in there!
So did everybody else!
The bank's been robbed! Hey,
Empty before, except for the two clerks and Jed Harrow, the bank now was the focal point of attention as a crowd gathered into the small building. Men who'd lost their savings in the robbery. Others who didn't have dust there, but had friends who did. All of them were there. Jed Harrow, his arm in a sling, was trying to quiet the excited crowd as Sergeant Preston elbowed his way into the room.
Hell, man, man! That's how it happened. Sam here can tell you we didn't have a chance.
Well, what do you aim to do about it?
Well, try to get it back, if we can.
What do you mean, if you can? I lost $12,000 to them varmints. By golly, I'll follow
you
them.
You do, and you're setting yourself up a sizable job.
Sizable job? Why, I...
Take a look outside.
He's right, Len. With the snow coming down, their tracks will be covered before you even get to your sled.
Sergeant Preston. Well, well, I didn't know you were in town.
I just got in. What do these men look like?
Well, we couldn't tell.
You couldn't tell?
They were wearing masks over their handkerchief over their faces.
That's right, Sergeant. We couldn't get a good look at them at all. Only I heard one of them calling the other Lance.
They were in and out in about 5 minutes, Sergeant.
There was no one else in the bank?
No. Broke in through the door to my office.
Door to your office?
Yes. When I tried to stop them, one of them took a shot at me.
Yes, I see. Hit you in the arm.
Yes.
What do you aim to do, Sergeant?
How could they know about that entrance, Jed? Mind if I take a look at it?
Why, no, no. It's over this way.
This is your office, huh?
Yes. You see, they came in this way here.
Mm-hmm. You tried to stop them?
They stopped me with a bullet. But you probably won't find much evidence in here.
I wouldn't say that, Jed. Sometimes find evidence in unexpected places.
Late that night, Sergeant Preston met Will Iverson outside the bank as the banker looked up and down the street, shaken after his session with Jed Harrow.
Will! Will Iverson!
Yes? Well, Sergeant Preston, this is the first piece of good luck I've had today. How are you?
Fine, fine. But I didn't know you were coming to Black Hawk.
Well, I wrote Jed and told him I'd be in today and tomorrow.
Strange you didn't mention it. You...
Yes, Jed told me the news. I guess there's nothing to do except pay the miners what they lost and chalk that up to a bad investment.
It would have been impossible to follow them once they left the bank, Will.
I know. He told me it was snowing. Poor Jed, he's all broken up about it. Did you see his arm?
No. No, I didn't.
He's got it in a sling. Can't use it at all. You know, Sergeant, when I gave Jed this job, I was a little doubtful. Oh, I guess I shouldn't say it, but he was kind of wild. Of course, that was a long time ago, and I've always been able to keep a close eye on him, coming back and forth pretty often. But a thing like this, what could he do? The same thing could have happened if I had been here.
I didn't know that.
What?
That he'd been wild.
Oh, yes, but he settled down. How about stopping in the cafe with me for a minute, Sergeant?
Thanks, Will. I was going in to say hello to some of the boys anyway.
Fine. It's been a long time since I've been in here myself.
I'm afraid you'll have a lot of questions to answer. Most of your customers are in here.
Well, I'll have to answer them sooner or later anyway.
Late that night, as Sergeant Preston walked down Black Hawk's only street, he heard quick footsteps behind him.
In a hurry, Sergeant?
Oh, hello, Sam. No, I was just thinking.
I didn't see you leave the cafe. Pretty noisy in there, wasn't it?
Yes, the men will keep Iverson talking for another hour, I guess.
He's a fine man.
Yes, yes, he is. Sam, I've been wanting to ask you a few questions.
Go ahead.
Do you know if Jed Harrow spends much time at the cafe?
Well, now that you mention it, seems to me he does. He and Dan are together a lot.
I see.
They play cards a lot. In fact, they often ask me to join them in a game. The stakes are too high for me.
Just one more question, Sam.
If I can answer it.
How many shots were fired when those men broke into Harrow's office?
One.
Are you sure of that?
I'd swear to it.
And that bullet was in the floor.
What'd you say?
Just thinking out loud. Who fixed Harrow's arm?
Dan did, I guess. And they sent me out to fetch help. Why?
It's only a hunch, but it's worth a try. Where's Jed now?
Down at the bank.
In his office?
Yeah.
Well, in that case, King and I will retrace our steps. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks? What for? I ain't done anything for him.
What do you suppose
he... We'll go calling on Jed, King. But I have a feeling we won't be very welcome visitors.
A single light burned in the bank in Jed Harrow's office, outlining the figures of three men, all of them gathered around the banker's desk.
So that takes care of everything. You've got your cuts. No need for us to ever see each other again.
Still the banker, eh, boss?
Without the banker, you boys never could have pulled this job. Well, that's all.
Hey, I think I saw Preston looking through the window.
Preston?
Guess we better get out of here.
No, no, he's already seen you. If he comes in, remember, you've come to see me about a loan to work your mines. Well, well, this is a surprise, Sergeant.
Yes, I imagine it is, Jed. I saw your light and thought I'd stop. Oh, if you're busy...
Busy? Oh, no, no, no. These men were just leaving. Sorry, I couldn't let you have the loan for that mine, boys.
We'll stop by in a week or two.
Can't work it without the cash.
You're Pete LeBeau, aren't you?
Yeah.
I didn't know you'd gone in for mining.
I ain't it. I mean, not that anyone knows. We're keeping the claim a secret.
Yes, well, now, maybe if you...
Jed, how's that arm of yours? Give you much trouble?
No. Oh, I was lucky. Just a scratch. Dan here got the bullet out before any damage was done.
So you fill in as a sawbones as well as a bank clerk, huh, Dan?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's mighty handy being able to do two or three things. Our King here can smell a bullet wound a mile away. Can't you, boy?
What's he barking for?
Probably just because he wants to look at your arm. Don't you, King?
Dogs make me nervous, Preston. Just keep him away from me.
Oh, King won't hurt you, Jed. He's just friendly.
Well, he doesn't look friendly. If he comes any closer...
He's got his teeth bared.
Look out, Jed.
Tell him to stop. I'll stop him. I'll brain him with this chair.
Your arm, Jed. I thought you couldn't use it. Down, King.
Why didn't you say that before? You'd let... What's your game, Sergeant?
Just this. When I saw a bullet in the floor there, I wondered why you faked that wound.
Oh. You hear that, boys? Sergeant here saw something we missed.
Something you missed.
Too bad for you, Monty. That dog of yours as good as signed your death warrant.
You better put that gun away, Dan.
Not before I use it.
You daft. You can't kill a Monty.
Who says I can't? What do you think, boss?
I think he knows too much.
So that's the way it is, huh? These are the men who robbed the bank, and you led them into it.
Yeah, much good it'll do you to know.
You won't get away with this.
That's where you're wrong. I've gotten away with it this far. You're not stopping me now. You won't take a chance shooting him here, Dan. Out by the lake will be better. Then we...
You're not going out to the lake or anywhere else, Harrow. Get that gun, King.
Watch that dog!
Look out, Ted!
All right, King. Down, fella. I'll reach all of you. Higher.
This was all a mistake. I can explain.
The only mistake you made, Jed, was when you had that arm tied up. And right now, the only place you're going is jail. Yes, King. Case is closed.
Challenge of the Yukon, a copyrighted feature of the Challenge of the Yukon Incorporated, brought to you every Saturday at this time, originated in the transcription studios of WXYZ Detroit. The characters and events in tonight's drama were fictitious. Bill Morgan speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
Where you work, it's the payroll savings plan. Where you bank, it's the bond a month plan. Everywhere, it's United States savings bonds for real financial security.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is your host, Kenny Delmar, introducing Guest Star, one of a series of programs produced and transcribed in New York and presented by this station and United States Savings Bonds as a public service. Our guest star for this program is Basil Rathbone, star of stage, screen, and radio. In his role as radio detective, Mr. Rathbone has caught more criminals than you'd think possible, even in radio. Before we start him out on the trail, however, here's music by the $3 and the Savings Bonds Orchestra under the direction of Dennis Agay. It's a medley of two favorites, Mary Lou and Ain't She Sweet.
Mary Lou, Mary Lou, cross my heart, I love you. Every bell in the steeple is ready to ring, and all the people are planning pretty presents just for you. Mary Lou, won't you give your promise to? Why, for miles around they're waiting to start their celebrating when you say I do. Mary Lou, ain't she sweet? See her coming down the street. Now I ask you very confidentially, ain't she sweet? Ain't she nice? Look her over once or twice. Now I ask you very confidentially, ain't she nice? Just cast an eye in her direction. Oh me, oh my, ain't that perfection? I repeat, don't you think that's kind of neat? And I ask you very confidentially, ain't she sweet? Sweet, I repeat, just tell me confidentially, ain't she sweet?
Yeah, yeah, well, that was fine, gang. And now here is our guest star, Basil Rathbone.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen, and how are you, Kenneth?
Simply top hold, old boy. How's yourself?
Well, I was planning to say that I was simply top hold, but you seem to have got there ahead of me. Doesn't happen often, you know.
Quite right. I've heard you many times as a radio detective, and I know a fella has to get up early in the morning to get ahead of you.
Yes. It's best to stay up all night.
Tell me, Basil, what is the most important requirement for a fiction detective?
Well, Kenneth, I should say the most important requirement is that he have a stupid assistant. You know, the type of fellow who goes about making casts of his own footprints, stumbling over evidence, that sort of chap. One can pick them up rather reasonably.
Well, say, for example, that you started a detective agency and you were the great detective. Where would you get a dumb assistant?
Dear boy, don't be so modest.
What? Oh, yes. Well, but I hate to be typed.
Say no more. We're in business. Music, maestro, if you please.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you Whodunit, starring those amazing detectives Rathbone and Delmar. Honestly, folks, we don't know who done it, but there's one thing we are sure of. Rathbone and Delmar don't know either. So here they are, our defective detectives. We find them in their office, which they are redecorating in anticipation of the next crime wave.
While we're fixing up the place, I think we'll take those pictures down.
Yeah, what's wrong with them, Chief? I see some just like them in a dentist's office.
Yes, but this is not a dentist's office. We're detectives. We ought to put things up, something significant, something to indicate our calling.
Yeah, who's calling, Chief?
No, you don't understand.
Well, give it to me again slow, huh?
I said that since we're detectives, we should fix up the office so people will know what we are when they walk in. Do you follow me?
Oh, sure, I'm following you,
well,
Chief.
Well, stop it at once. It makes me nervous.
Well, how do you figure to fix a place up, Chief?
Well, we'll hang a few sets of fingerprints around. That'll give the place class.
Oh, where'll we get the prints?
Make some with your little dandy junior fingerprint outfit.
I ain't got it yet, Chief. I ain't got enough box tops.
Why? I told you about it 2 months ago.
Yeah, I know, but I just can't get used to that trash bag cracker corn breakfast food. It tastes good, Chief, hey, but it makes so much noise, it keeps me awake at breakfast.
Nonsense, Kenny. You start eating Crash Bang Cracker Corn 3 times a day until you send away for that little dandy junior fingerprint outfit. You hear me?
Okay, Chief.
Then I think we should have a few clues around, too.
Clues, hey?
Yes, clues. Now, I don't want to tell you again what a clue is. I've told you 100 times.
No, wait. Don't tell me. Don't tell me, Chief. I got it. It's something that the guy who done it leaves behind him.
That's right.
Like, say, his hat and coat. And then we look in his hat for his initials. And then we look in his coat, and there's a letter from the mob, and we...
Yes, my dear fellow, why should a criminal leave his hat and coat behind?
Maybe it's turned warm out.
Then he wouldn't wear his hat and coat, would he? He'd leave them at home.
Okay, so we go to his home and search his closet. He don't get away from us so easy, Hutchie.
No, Kenny. You don't find anything like that lying around. You look for little things like, a hairpin.
Uh-huh, so a dame done it.
Or perhaps we find a suspender button.
Had a guy with her, huh?
Uh-huh. Now we're getting warm. All we have to do now is to find a fellow with a suspender button missing.
Sure, or a dame who's minus a hairpin. It's as simple as ABD.
You mind, Kenny? A, B, C.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Chief. I remember you told me that before.
Well, try and keep it in mind.
Yeah. So you think we ought to put some clues around, hey?
Yes, it'll give the place a professional tone.
Yeah, but if we put them clues around, the evidence will point to us.
Don't worry, Kenny. We'll have an alibi, and the clues will impress the clients.
Oh, sure. What clients?
The ones we're going to get, stupid. After all, we're not in business for our health, are we?
No, I feel fine, Chief. But, maybe after that last case we worked on, we won't get no more clients. Inspector Flagg, you know, was awful mad at us.
Oh, well, that was just a little accident. Could have happened to anybody.
Yeah, but especially to us. Inspector Flagg figured that we should have known that guy was the crook we were after when we saw him trying to get in through the window.
Well, after all, you know, the chap said that he lived there and had just forgotten his keys, and he had proof, too.
How do you mean, Chief?
Well, remember, when we searched him, he didn't have any keys.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I remember. Then they said to look for a clean-shaven man, and this guy had a little mustache.
Of course. Remember how it kept on coming off? Then the police said that the man they wanted was short. This fellow looked short. But when we asked him just to check up, he said he was 6'4".
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what the man said. Yeah, that's right, Chief. You know, I think that Inspector Flagg was mad about us giving the guy money for a railroad ticket to get out of town.
Well, after all, Kenny, the chap said that he was leaving town for his health, and naturally you'd like to help anybody who's sick.
You know, Chief, we were pretty smart about getting that IOU out of him for the dough we lent him, though. And we were pretty smart to sign it ourselves instead of letting him sign it.
Yes, Kenny, certainly. The man was a perfect stranger. Why should we let him sign it?
Sure. Hey, Chief. Somebody's at the door there. Maybe it's a client.
Mm-hmm. Are you Rathbone and Delmar, the great detectives?
Yes, indeed. Sit right down, won't you? Just a minute. Let me get you a... Let me get this clue off that chair.
I don't see anything.
No, of course not. That's our business. We notice everything. Now, what can we do for you?
I'd like to employ you, gentlemen.
Oh, isn't that splendid?
I'll explain the details of the case, you
case?
See.
My dear fellow, I believe you're suffering under a misapprehension.
Yeah, that's what he's doing, all right. Yeah, Chief, he's suffering under that thing there.
We are radio detectives.
Radio detectives? You mean you don't want to take a case?
A case? Certainly not, my dear fellow. What we want is a sponsor.
Thank you. Thank you, Basil Rathbone.
For that interesting glimpse of radio detectives. And now the $3 sing for us with Dennis Agay, the Savings Bonds Orchestra, and When Yuba Plays the Tuba.
His name was Yuba. He was homely, he was dumb, and so was Yuba. Just a big, ambitious bum,
and when he found a big bass tuba,
then he bummed his way to Cuba.
And the rest
is history. Down in Havana, there's a funny-looking bufa. He plays the rumba on the tuba down in Cuba. Oh, and he samples, sell an apple, but the shepherd rather grappled with his oompa, loompa, loompa. They prefer it to the boopa, boopa, doopa. They love the rumba on the tuba down in Cuba. It doesn't take him very long to get a tumbo, for all the rumba lovers go into their rumbo. Oh, how I'd like to be his double phone without a bit of trouble with his oompa, loompa, loompa. He can knock 11 ladies for a loompa. They love the rumba on the tuba down in Cuba. He's not a green
horn. He blows a mean horn. A must be seen horn. Oh, he's a wit. His name is Yuba. He was homely, he was dumb, and so was Yuba. Just a big and vicious bum, he wouldn't do a. So much as chew a piece of gum, so this is news to me. Why, old Havana loves this funny-looking booba, who plays the rumba on the tuba down in Cuba. I can't believe it, but they tell us every peanut friend is jealous of his upper.
Kenny, perhaps you and I wouldn't do very well solving problems, but there's one problem that everyone can solve for himself.
And what is that, Basil?
Well, Kenny, I'm referring to the savings problem which faces everyone. It's really no problem at all, however, when you save the easy, automatic way with U.S. savings bonds.
Tell us more about that, Basil.
Well, everyone can now save regularly, the easy, automatic way, where you work or where you bank. Where you work, it's called the payroll savings plan. A certain amount is set aside for you each week from your salary for investment in U.S. savings bonds. If you're not on regular salary, there's the new bond a month plan at your bank. If you have a checking account, you simply tell them at the bank what denomination of U.S. savings bonds you want each month, and the bank does the rest.
Well, it certainly does sound like the easiest way to save.
It is, Kenny. It's easy, automatic, and sure. Remember, where you work, it's the payroll savings plan. Where you bank, it's the bond a month plan.
And there's another important thing to remember about U.S. savings bonds. They return $4 for every three invested in just 10 years. U.S. savings bonds are backed by your government, too. There's no safer investment in the world.
If you're not already saving regularly, the easy, automatic way, the U.S. savings bonds, get full details. Where you work or where you bank, U.S. savings bonds are your investment in America, your safeguard for the future.
This is your host, Kenny Delmar, signing off for Guest Star, one of a series of programs presented by this station and United States Savings Bonds as a public service. Guest Star is produced and transcribed in New York. We want to thank Basil Rathbone for appearing with us on this program. Thank you very much, Basil. And till next we meet, here's a question to remember.
Have you invested in United States Savings Bonds this week?
They're a good buy. Good buy, that is.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.